Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Hello, Mr. Putin. It is me, Hilaria. And I wish you would.
How you say cucumber?
I wish you would stop the. The bombing.
There you go. Thank you.
Also, my husband is innocent. He farted and pushed the trigger on the accident.
Hilarious.
How do you say, accidental murder?
You are just such a loyal wife,
Hilaria. I'm very Spanish.
I know. You're so not American.
You see?
Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben.
My husband is innocent.
I know. He didn't do anything wrong, did he, Hilaria?
No, just very good. Good actor.
Very, just like Stephen Baldwin.
You see?
Absolutely. Well, hey, everyone. How y'all doing out there? By the way, we heard, I don't know if you know about this, Hank the Tank.
All right.
We heard all about it.
No, honestly, no. Kissel, you're mad. You're mad, first of all. You're more triggered because everyone's like, Kissel, you gotta stop feeding the bears. Like, okay. It's a thing you actively do, which honestly, you might. I don't know what you do when you're out of town.
We've done a show for 11 years. We've discussed so much content, so many controversial viewpoints perhaps expressed.
What?
Even. The most amount of DMs I have ever received in my inbox was about Hank the Tank, was about bears. I said that I would single-handedly give a bear a sandwich.
You're a bastard.
I did not say I was going to build a pile of food that then all the bears would become reliant on.
I seem to remember an evening that you and I spent at the Mandalay Bay, maybe this Saturday, where you said something along the lines of, pop-up food truck specifically for bears, where you wanted to put together a food giveaway, teach bears how to cook seminar.
I would love to see Guy Fieri teach some bears how to make trash can nachos at Flavortown, which, by the way, Henry and I, we did have a wonderful weekend in Las Vegas. I did go to Flavortown.
You did.
It's at the Link Casino, and it was truly amazing.
I'm telling you,
it is elevated bar food, but Guy is it was Flavortown. Anyway.
Sure, it has a flavor.
We do understand now. Hank the Tank was not just a bear. He is, in fact, three.
I was saddened by this news because I think a lot of people were. Because, yes, people are saying, it's vindicating Hank the Tank. He won't be murdered. But I was so excited for the.
For what? For the
American legend that was Hank the Tank. The Paul Bunyan style folklore. Like, it felt like it was a piece of American folklore that we were watching getting birthed, and I wish that we were a part of it, but it is true.
Hank the Tank is still a 500-pound bear. Now, this is another example of bearism and weightism.
Mm.
Oh, who's breaking
They're
into
all the
our
same.
Hotels? Who's breaking into our refrigerators?
That one
must
big
be the fat
guy
bear.
Yeah,
maybe it wasn't the fat guy bear. Maybe it was three little bears that ate as much as one fat guy bear, and now all of a sudden you're going to shoot me? I'm getting pretty upset.
You're already very heated. Very
I had to drive
morning.
So many hours today.
You did. You lost your car keys.
This.
You had
I don't
to
want to talk about it.
You had to find your way back from Vegas to go right into our work day. Honestly, you're in a lot better shape than I thought you would be.
I shouldn't be talking to a gas station attendant right now. I am talking theoretically to the globe. There's no reason why this should be happening. Right. But anyway.
Here we go. So we got the paper of good repute. The paper of ill repute, New York Times.
The paper.
They basically, they're reporting.
The Times reported on Hank the Tank?
Hank the Tank.
We were in the middle of
an actual, like the beginnings of a hot war with Russia. Yeah. This needed attention. This is big.
Well, how did they mess up this story?
There's no way. Apparently, yeah, they said something about Hank the Tank would definitely be pro-war with Ukraine. Like, he's saying that, like, Hank the Tank says, send in bombs.
I didn't know. Wow, Hank.
But the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, right, they said that they don't think it's acted alone. Now, this came out, of course, the day after we recorded.
Oh, naturally.
Now, according to the agency, they have collected DNA from these bears.
Right.
For the last several months, and they went through the analyzed it real quick.
Did they have they talked
solve the murder of JonBenet Ramsey? No.
Or the Innocence Project?
No.
Like, so they just we have so many different types of people behind bars. Mm-hmm. Maybe innocent DNA might be able to clear their name. Mm-hmm. But they said no. Mm-mm. This is where we're going to use
Hank the Tank.
Top. We are CSI.
One bear was saved this week by
DNA.
But these are nature cops.
Nature cops are pretty cool, though.
Yeah, they stop forest fires. They keep squirrels from raping each other. These guys are honestly, it's really incredible what they do over there.
Okay.
Now, they said until this update, the people have been kind of mad about this because everyone's been pinning it on Hank the Tank. They're saying that Hank the Tank needs to get shot in the head because he is essentially like Two-Face of the bear world. Everyone's afraid of him.
And that's why I defended Hank the Tank, and I always will defend Hank the Tank.
And think about this, these words by the paper of ill repute, New York Times, who's described Hank, whose portly frame and prodigious appetite were looked on across the world as some mix of admirable and relatable.
That is so much bullshit.
I hate them.
For a description of a bear. Also, portly, I was called portly. That was I was 54 portly. That was my jacket size. And again, I'm going to say well-framed, big boy, survivor.
I think it should be labeled as marshmallow man. And honestly, it's nice to be part of the marshmallow community. Now,
I would love to see if we were in Ghostbusters, just the huge big tit you would have summoned at the end. Think of something positive.
It's Gianna Michaels.
Oh my God.
So they actually said something that's very similar to what you just said. This is what the wildlife department said. Identifying bears simply by their visible physical characteristics can lead to misidentifying bears and therefore confusing management efforts.
See?
So they do acknowledge that we can't just judge a bear by its hornets.
Well, I am just so happy there are some officers in this country. Yes, sure, they happen to work solely with animals that take the time, not just to judge, but to also investigate and clear innocent people who are being framed by skinny, horrible.
What?
Yes. Little.
Chews. What's your word?
Campers.
Okay, campers. Good. All I'm glad it was not Jews. Now,
I'm very thankful. Henry Zabrowski.
But it's interesting because, they're saying the three. We feel like we should get them on human crimes. I feel like they should be doing human crimes because they busted. They turned this around real fucking fast. And they are now, because of the efforts and because of the general sentiment from the American people, whoever is caught for this so-called pizza rummaging inside people's homes, this forced pizza rummaging. They're saying that they will not be euthanized, that they will let the bears live. And I think that that's incredibly nice. And it actually shows that sometimes, every once in a while, what we say matters.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of food and
it's a way for us to feel satisfied for a hot minute so you don't think about all the other ways that you're completely disenfranchised or no one gives a fucking shit above the line in any way, shape, or form and how we are manipulated by the U.S. government up until this day.
Well, it is interesting you did bring it back there, though.
I'm just saying.
You did bring it back there. Oh, I almost did forget because I was like, Hank the Tank, he's innocent. And then that's right. I forgot we're still on episode 5 of MK Ultra. So.
I need out. I need to clear my mind. All right. I am Project Monarch. I mean, if I went to the Project Monarch training, I don't know if I could get anybody I don't know if anybody would suck my dick. I don't know if I'd be able to suck anybody's dick. They'd smell me coming from a mile.
It sounds to me like you're about to stress eat because that's what people like you and I do.
I do.
Be very careful. Adding more stressor to the idea of stress eating. You heard this story. We talked about it. The student. He ate some old Chinese food.
This is not
much
good.
Like Hank the Tank would, but I don't think Hank the Tank would suffer the same horrible, horrible side effects.
This story, man, this is really a story. It's a warning. It's a warning about what can happen if you aren't vaccinated against certain things as a child.
And
right?
To be honest, I can't believe that this didn't happen to us. We have dodged so many bullets. If eating leftover Chinese food can lead to what happened to this man, we're all in danger.
Now, I guess it's like he got some form of meningitis from food that was left. I guess he had it. I don't know what happens, but he didn't get any sort of inoculations from
He said that he had he did not have the inoculation for meningitis. He also didn't realize meningitis was hiding inside of his lo mein chicken and rice.
Well, I didn't know that it could happen. I didn't know that it did work like this, but they're calling it a perfect storm.
I don't really know what it is.
I don't know either. It's a young man. He was 19 years old. And if you look at him now, this leftover food, leftover delivery food in his fucking refrigerator, he lost both of his legs and he is covered in like weeping sores. Oh. His whole body is absolutely jacked.
He's jacked.
This is not good. He's bleeding. He's been vomiting red brown. That's all they're saying. It literally just says the vomitus was red brown. And the abdominal pain and vomiting were followed by the development of chills, generalized weakness, progressively worsening diffuse myalgias, is also what I'd be like if I met Harry Styles.
Malaysia? Hilaria?
Chest pain, shortness of breath. I mean, I don't know what the hell he did. And then he had he had 106 fucking degree fever.
According to Dr. Bernard, he says this was a freak accident happening in a perfect storm, as Henry said, of events. The multiple organ failure, skin mottling, and a rapidly progressive reticular rash.
Oh.
The patient had this stuff going on for about 20 hours. And then he's like, I better go to the doctor. He went to the doctor, and that's where we're seeing all of the pictures. He looks like he is in 28 Days Later, and he is not one of the heroes. He is indeed a zombie.
Oh, it's
and
not
I
good.
Just didn't know I had to be scared of leftovers because I consumed all weekend, those, number one, because I ordered about $500 worth of food on Saturday.
On
Friday, just kind of let it go through something.
Sure. But no, that's fine.
I don't need this today.
And I will say, you know that this is not really vaccine propaganda because it's from the New York Post. The New York Post is really kind of like, they're all over the place with their opinions.
They're just a fun paper.
They are pointing out that it's one of he only got one of the three doses of meningococcal conjugate, whatever the fuck it is. But he only got one. But it's mostly just watch out.
He did get the one that saved his cock. Isn't that nice? He should have gotten the legs one or the arms one.
I don't know what kind of working condition his cock and balls are going to be in after this, because if it traveled all the way down the way it did, it's just not fucking good. And now I'm just like, you'll never eat leftovers again.
Well, after getting parts of all of his fingers, his legs below his knees amputated, this is according to the article, the man went on to have, quote, a relatively good recovery. So isn't that, but I feel like a relatively good recovery is like, I got at least one of my legs.
I could still see out the window.
Like, you're just happy that you can see out of a window?
Oh, man. It's also just, I feel so bad. Obviously, truly, we're kind of making some jokes here, but he's just a 19-year-old dude.
Yeah.
He does not deserve this. He did not know. And then it's also like, he doesn't get any benefits of being a war veteran.
No, nothing.
He doesn't get anything where it's like,
No sympathy. You don't get sympathy for this. No, nobody cares. They are all just, everyone's just looking at you. Mostly, I would look at you like, I fucking hope to God that doesn't happen to me.
Yeah.
Like, just because I can't deal with it. I don't want to deal with, or I don't want to lose my legs in that way. If I'm losing my legs, I will have earned that factor. By diabetes.
Slowly.
Life of excellent, high-value food choices.
Just like Waylon Jennings, who, when he left this earth, he did not have any feet because the bee just took him.
His feet beat him to heaven.
That's correct. So anyway, if you got some old food, be very careful.
I don't even know how you know if it's bad or not. Like, you know, because Natalie is a little bit of a person. She's way more lenient with when she would eat, like, leftovers. I get freaked out about old food, and I don't eat old food. I know, you love it.
I'm a tank.
But you're like that. You don't really get... You had COVID, like, 9 times. Your blood is thick. It comes out, like... Sometimes your blood is white, which I've seen, which is strange. I don't know what happened.
That's semen. That is not... If anyone is just like, no, I just bleed white, it's like, no, you just came
that's
all
calm,
over me.
That's calm.
You need to stop doing that. All right, so be careful. Oh, and I wonder what I hope someone called the restaurants like someone took a shit in your lo mein. I don't even know how. What is it? Also, what does it must be something fecal related?
It might be,
which is also super nasty.
Because well, also you just don't know. It's one of those things where it's like why a restaurant. It's why a restaurant will sometimes get a low rating because it's really
because the clients lose both of their legs and their arms because of meningitis. They'll I'd get a low rating.
I'd give it a B plus. The B+. Restaurant. You know what I mean, I'm not giving it an A. But actually, I don't know how. Honestly, side stories lpotl@gmail.com. How does poo poo get in our food without they're just because I know you guys I love our restaurant industry workers I love all our fucking people back of house front of house absolutely love everybody you are the true warriors of American culture
you and are
I you know that Dookie it's not like you guys are taking active shits in food and there I know you
might
won't do that
there may okay I'm not gonna say I had friends that may have done stuff like pissing in the pickle jars.
Yeah, that's different.
Then when they that's worked at the when they worked at Arby's. That's shenanigans.
That's not bio warfare.
It kind of is.
Sure.
But I also just wonder if it's just like booger boys. Just people are full of shit sometimes.
Did you fart hard?
You could have farted on it as a joke.
Like, oh, man. There's or did a you lot fart near it? Thinking no one will know because let's say you're a cook and you made out all night doing fucking coke, fucking chasing after your girlfriend. You don't know where she is. She went missing by the shipyards. All of a sudden, she's texting you from another man's number.
Oh,
your whole life's a fucking wreck. Right. And all of a sudden, you got to show up to Flavortown. You've got this 6'7" man out there going on,
where's guy?
And you got to go and fight. You got to get that guy back on society side with chicken wings.
I did not have a chance to see Guy, but I did have a chance to take a picture next to one of the plates the guy signed. And I just showed it to Henry. And Guy said, you know how funny he is. He said on a plate, he said, I did what?
He's a funny guy. He's a funny guy.
God, Guy is there.
He's still got it.
Guy is there. Carrot Top also signed one of the plates. Wing, wing, wing. Hello, Carrot Top.
You know what? I don't like that one. That one I don't like.
What about that Bloody Mary that Kepper got, my boy?
Honestly, yeah, it's a very big Bloody Mary, honestly. Really good for him. Now, this story is also about how, like, what I actually, I almost could see what happened outside of a Flavortown, because when it comes down to it, you know, customer service in this country, oh, don't even get me started.
Well, you know,
It's actually been doing very well in terms of the fact that we're crawling out of a pandemic.
The industry is doing great, but if you're out there, one thing about Vegas, you people watch. And I did overhear some rude dudes
from
the customer class.
Of course. They are assholes.
Be respectful. I mean, we're in Flavortown here. It's not gonna be perfect.
You're being invited into a restaurant's home. When you go into a restaurant, you are a guest in that restaurant's home, and you should consider yourself as such.
Live from your grave.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year, thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about 2 literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time, because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me, to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hey, did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. That's one of my favorite things about it. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Now, personally, I'm in the middle of re-landscaping my yard. I like to do it myself because I called up a landscaper to see how much it cost, and it was absolutely insane. Plus, I love dirt. I love getting my hands in the dirt, and I love planting things myself. And Fast Growing Trees has given me some wonderful plants that I can use. Like, I got this Texas sage, it's purple. I've dug up a whole bunch of horrible bushes and shrubs up in front of my window and in front of my house and put some purple Texas sage up there, and it's going to thrive, and it's going to look real good. And I didn't even have to go to a nursery to buy it. It came to my house. Now, this spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code LEFT at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code LEFT at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code LEFT. Offers valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
This next story, because we're just almost sticking solely with restaurants and food
today.
There's
a lot of food crime today.
This would have never happened at Flavortown because a Texas man at a restaurant got super pissed because he wasn't given enough barbecue sauce.
I'm going to say this is, it might not be about the barbecue sauce, but this is Andre Tomas. He's 36 years young. He's facing 2 charges of aggravated assault because he thought that With a deadly weapon, because he said there was not enough barbecue sauce in his to-go order.
You know,
which is also like, you can just go back and get it.
Well, that is one of the things with the to-go order. This is why every time I go to my Ralph's, that's here in Los Angeles. It's like what you call it's a grocery store here in Los Angeles.
It's a grocery store.
Ralph's. I always pick up condiments because you can't trust these delivery services condiments.
You really do.
The condiment is on you.
This is about America. This is like how the same way we have to handle our own healthcare, the same way we have to probably teach our own children eventually. We also need to provide ourselves our own condiments that we want in this country, because you have the freedom to do everything on your own here.
And perhaps if that man would have put some Frank's Red Hot on that lo mein, it could have killed whatever the toxin was.
Or
and
then, the da bomb. Or the da bomb stuff. But okay, so he was like, he walked in, he got his to-go order, and he left.
Yeah.
He then came back.
He got the to-go order from a place called Dickie's Barbecue Pit.
I bet you it's good. Sure. I don't know. I've never, this is in Houston. Honestly, tell us if it's a good Houston. Now, he walked back, he was angry and he was upset. And he said that because he said to them, hey, I didn't get enough barbecue sauce, right? Uh-huh. Sure. And you're like, everyone's like, you know, and they said straight up like, sure. So they gave him more barbecue sauce.
Okay, what's he complaining about then?
He then walked back out, came back in, decided that the way the handoff of the barbecue sauce went, Mr. Tomas. I wish this is enough for you.
What do they want? He wanted to get like juice, like, oh, come back to the barbecue enema room then, sir.
I don't know.
And we'll fill you so full of so much barbecue sauce, you'll never want for more.
But then he came back and he says, I'm going to kill everyone in this restaurant.
This is like a heightening of a situation that I don't think needs to happen.
Dude, and then he walked out and he broke the arm of one of the people inside of the restaurant.
Jeez.
And he went outside and he waited for people to leave and started shooting. He waited till the store closed. This is how angry he is. Okay. He could have went to the store and bought barbecue sauce and have put it on the food he already had. Right. And the amount of time that he just sat and he waited for the restaurant to close. And then as people were leaving, he started shooting up the front of the restaurant again. SideStoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. Again, email us. Is that place good enough to kill over?
I really don't think so.
Because it's Dickie's, man. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know if Dickie's is so good that that's why he needed this barbecue sauce, or is Dickie's so bad that he felt that, hey, you should be compensating me with barbecue sauce for me just patronizing the store.
I'm going to say Thomas might find himself back in jail. He has a pretty lengthy criminal history going back to 2009.
Yes.
He's got a pretty big rap sheet there. And now he's facing five other felony bonds.
Yeah, I don't
including
think
he... retaliation, harassment, felony possession of a weapon, assault of a police officer, and assault on a family member. And that had nothing to do with barbecue sauce.
No, he attacked everyone.
He was very mad. It just seemed like whoever he interacted with that day.
He's been attacking.
Yeah, he's just going to attack.
And it's about the barbecue sauce. Now, here's another story that is this is a little bit more frightening, but it's also like you don't really know your kids.
You can only know them at some point, don't they? Just become their own people.
They become adults.
They do.
They become adults, and you don't know who those adults are going to be. And sometimes they become fairly twisted up mentally, and then maybe they can come back and kill you. I don't know.
I don't know.
But this is a story of Christopher Clairbout. Now, this took place in Indiana. I'm not surprised. But he went and he beat his mother nearly to death and he tied her up with electrical cords.
Jeez.
And he stabbed his father to death with a switchblade knife. And he said the reason why he did so is because he is both Donald Trump, but he's not. His name is something else. He's not Donald Trump. His name is Christopher Brian Clairbout. But he said that he was Donald Trump.
Well, he's not even close to the same age.
No, absolutely.
Anything.
And then he said that he was black. He's not. Very much a white person.
Okay.
And then he said his parents were Bill and Hillary Clinton, which they're not because they're still alive. They're still
out
there.
Oh, my God. Right? He said he was
planning to arrest his mom and deliver her to Guantanamo Bay under the quote-unquote War Crimes Act for the crimes that she has committed against him and the crimes that she has committed against the country. He came in, he stole his father's wallet, and then he murdered the hell out of him. Slit his belly open with a switchblade knife.
Crap.
They found the father dead. In the front, he was like 75 years old, holding his guts in, like on the front.
He was in the front driveway.
In the front driveway.
Please, can you help me?
Yep. People watched from afar. But he was really very intense.
So you're the neighbor, right? You got this 75 year old man, David Clairbout. That's his name. And all of a sudden, you just see him doing that. I bet you someone just closed the curtains and was like, "Didn't see that. American Idol's on."
Well, especially if you're in the middle of a Peloton.
Oh,
if you're in the middle, you can't stop. Your whole ranking's going to get fucking torched.
And then how are people going to know that you're exercising? because you really want everyone to know everything that you're doing that might be kind of good for you. I just feel like I would really have a hard time. I would say I don't know how to help this person. But I definitely don't expect to see my neighbor grabbing their guts and attempting to put them back inside of their body on a random whatever day.
Well, he left with their car. So he stole his parents' car and he left it. And this is actually really, they found it because they found the father's dead body with what would look like a necklace pendant that appeared to be rounds of ammunition that were fashioned into the shape of the cross that he was wearing.
Oh my God.
Very similar.
That's from the son did that?
Yes, the son
that's
had
so
that.
Corny.
Left him there. Very, very corny. But you know what's actually kind of like, I guess it's good, but it's also one of those weird things that kind of felt like a commercial in the middle of this article, is that they talk about how the car was equipped with an OnStar, right? So the OnStar, when they were looking for where he was driving, they located him on the OnStar, but I also didn't know that the OnStar could disable the car. And so they basically,
crazy,
in the
right?
terms of like, it's kind of fucking... It's very similar to the Minority Report in a
it's
way.
It's crazy.
Where that from this corporate hub, they could shut your car off.
Yeah.
And then so he was left without a car. And then he had to run into the forest where they finally got him.
And one of the strangest things is the car was a Chevy Traverse. The license plate for the car. I am not a vanity plate fan because, A, they don't age well.
They never.
B, no one really knows what you're talking about. And they're just going to make fun of you. But the license plate on this car read... Prodigy.
He's a Firestarter.
P-R-O-D-I-G-Y.
Twisted Firestarter.
So
that's what he is.
I also think these parents may have thought very highly of themselves, sure, or very highly of their son.
I think they thought very highly of themselves. This is for, or maybe it was their company. Maybe they had a company called Prodigy. I don't know.
I don't know. Either way, it is a brutal story.
Oh, it's really very intense. And you have to be, you know, how do we get here? Why true crime now?
Why true crime
I don't
now?
Know how you put all of these thoughts in your head. Obviously, it sounds like that he was very mentally ill or at least very confused. Unless he was part of some form of psychological experiment housed by the U.S. government. I could see how he grew. Like, I just don't know how he became Donald Trump.
I don't know.
And
but
like,
the
do
parents...
you think that he saw Donald Trump in the mirror? Like when he like looked in the mirror, he saw him. He's going like huge, necessary, huge. Like just him doing his like shit.
Spray painting his toilet gold.
Doing
I
his
don't...
like perfect Alec Baldwin style Trump impersonation.
How you say cucumber?
How you say you should get an Emmy for neighbor? He's been a waiter. He hit photographer. Yes.
Thank you.
He
hilarious.
He hit the child. Yes, but the neighbor a waiter.
No, you're standing by your man. They're kind of, but also I think
how you say give me a divorce?
Yes, there. You almost said it. So Marcia, the mom of Christopher, she apparently was aware of this. She says he was ranting throughout the entire day.
Well, no, she had because she was tied up.
Because she was tied up, yes. And then so she said that all of those things that Henry just said, that he believed he was black, that he was Donald Trump, Bill and Hillary were the parents. And then she also said that he would just spit on her and hit her in the face. Oh, this is horrible.
Oh, yeah. It's very sad. He knew that she had problems with her feet and he kept stomping on her feet all day.
This is a bad son.
No, he's a bad son. He's a bad son. He is not going to get the Good Son Award.
Oh, my gosh.
You know who gets the Good Son Award? Macaulay Culkin.
Always.
For his absolutely transformed performance in The Good Son.
You know, the Culkin family. Truly talented.
Very talented.
I love the Culkin family.
I just wish I could be a part of them.
Yep. So, oh my God. He also insisted, this is according to Christopher again, and none of this is true, but he insisted his parents, quote, passed him around for sex as a child to a lot of politicians. Mr. Clairbout stated during the interview that he is Donald Trump again, and that his mother is Hillary and his dad
he
is Bill.
So he group sucked by the neighbors. I actually don't think that that's necessarily impossible. Like he could have definitely been handed around like a hookah
this
to
is
a bunch
why,
of the but, bunch of people that his dad worked with. I don't fucking know, but we know until we see that information, you know.
But this is why you do have to be freaking careful. And I'm a 1A First Amendment. You can say any dumb shit you want, but also understand the power of the microphone because this man obviously had no ability to discern what's truth, what's not truth. So if someone would say a conspiracy theory, he was just like, now that is a fact.
That has to be a fact. And I heard it through a speaker.
Yes, because he uses terms like deep state operatives. Like, so it's just, you got to be careful out there when you are in the world of lying like Alex Jones to, at the very least, just say every now and again, I'm just making this up, by the way.
Well, or like, you know, I feel like there used to be more of this idea of like, this is just my research. This is more like, this is, I'm asking questions. Like that idea of like asking questions, doing that kind
Bill
of stuff.
Bill Cooper
like,
was the best. I'm just asking questions.
I'm just asking questions. And so I feel like there was some of that where there was some caveats baked in to kind of protect themselves and protect their stations legally. But it also kind of keeps setting the tempo for the audience to like, to at least remind them, hey, this is a thought process here. We're spitballing. We're trying to see and not like this is what is definitely happening.
Absolutely. And apparently according to the neighbors, they said they were very nice people. And then the neighbor also said, I didn't see it coming. And I would say good.
What if she did? I knew that this was how they were gonna die.
Let's not go,
I knew it.
You know, we don't need to do pre-crime here, but if you did suspect it, oh, it looks like he's about to gut his father.
Yeah, finally. And him and the wife just both go like one gives the other $20. Like, I guess you win.
Today was the day. Also, this dude is now being held at the Hamilton County Jail. Ooh, speaking of fun things full of lies, Hamilton. Imagine. You're in jail. You stole a couple of Snickers bars. Maybe you got a DUI. Accidents happen. You know, and obviously mistakes happen. I'm just saying nothing nefarious. And this guy just walks in. What are you in for? Stab my dad. I'm Donald Trump and I'm black. And my mom is Hillary Clinton. My dad is Bill Clinton. I killed both of them.
I'd be pulling up a stool. That's actually the man I do want to talk to. If I'm in jail for some reason that day, I'd be like, I want to hear how we got here.
Oh,
I
want to
talk directly
gosh.
To Donald Trump. I want to ask him all of these questions. What was it like filming The Apprentice? That's the type of stuff that you ask him then. Be like, what's the White House like?
Tell
and then
us.
See what he says. See what his whole improv character bio comes up with.
All right. Well, I suppose so. Well, this is actually this little story here. I don't think that you saw this one, Henry, but this is to hear this story. Speaking of good fathers, there was a couple of kidnappers and they abducted these two kids. And then their father followed the suspects and he said, those are the ones who stole my children. And they were arrested.
What?
So I don't know. That makes me feel kind of good.
I mean, he followed them for how long?
For quite a while. This dude, Christopher Wade Schultz, man, he's fucking horrifying looking. He kidnapped two kids ages 6 and 2. Which, not to be like too, you know, hacky, but can you deal with that? A 2-year-old and a 6-year-old, you dumpy dumb shit.
You mean to
this
tell
guy,
me,
look at this so guy. You think he's gonna deal with a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old?
His life turned into the pedophile version of like, where's
Dutch?
My car? Was it Dutch? Or was it Ice Cube movie where he had to like take all the kids to the mall? What was that?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I forget, but yes, I know what you're talking about. So he is he's been charged and you know, it's just a good thing that this father said, you know what, I'm going to assume when my children grow up, they're not going to kill me. So I'm going to go and I'm going to protect them. And he was able to allow the sheriff's office to go in there, knock on the door, say, hey, man, you got some kids in there. And then they got the kids back.
And here's the opposite of that. Utah father charged after allegedly instructing his 4-year-old to shoot at the police.
Wait a second.
This
what?
Is the opposite day for this guy. So they were being arrested at a McDonald's. The man was not, his name has not been released yet, which actually kind of even nicer. They say, so he brandished a firearm at the drive-thru upon receiving an incorrect order.
What is going on, dude? I'm telling you, you know how we always pick up on trends? We
yes,
always do. We're always,
always
we're
always.
A But I don't remember nearly as much fast food rage.
This is I don't know what this, again, this is transferred rage from other things.
Yeah, this
but
has
I
nothing
don't
to do
know,
with McDonald's.
I don't think so, but it was just this week had a lot. When they saw the weapon, the McDonald's workers, very smart. They really, really, they knew how to do this because they said, hey, what you need to do is go park over there. We're going to give you extra food. We're going to take care of your bill. And then he went to go park to the side. They called the cops, right?
Yeah.
When they arrived.
They handled that like it happens all the time.
Yeah, they must have a manual. And there must be some way they made it. Like, when you are about to be murdered at work, here's what you do. Like, fake a milkshake gift certificate. You know what I mean? Like, so be like, oh, look over there. You know,
Ronald McDonald will be out there any moment now.
Him just waving in the parking lot. Yeah, go take a picture. Photo op with Ronald McDonald, then he's a cop.
Great.
It's an op.
Whoa.
So they saw that he came in. They said they went to go talk to the guy. The cops came. They went to go talk to the guy sitting in his car. They had their fucking gun out, right? And they're like, all right, we have to say we have to clear out the entire McDonald's because now it's an active shooter thing.
Right.
And then when they saw the gun, they saw that the kid was holding it in the front seat and popped off around out the window, like, which
he
honestly is
supposed,
well, obviously this is traumatizing, but also like, what a fun day with dad, kind of like, I
kind
never got
of.
To do anything like this with my father.
Well, it's definitely like your last day with dad. So I guess he definitely like, they just like, well, let's do it all. They didn't really care.
But the cops saw, they were like, kid. And yeah, the kid who fired a weapon is 4 years old. Yep.
Wow.
And it's just, it's not good. It's really, really not good because you really don't want them to get used to violence early.
You really don't. Also, in restaurant news, I don't know what is up with today, but in Wisconsin. Now, in Wisconsin, people, they tend to be like, I don't know. I don't think they get super. There's so much food that I just feel like they shouldn't be super aggressive.
Yeah, I just don't. I mean, honestly, all over this country, I know there are supply line issues, but still, like, there is absolutely no reason to fight over food.
There's so much food. There's so much food.
We don't need to.
So a Wisconsin restaurant worker was shot in the face during a dispute over an incomplete order. Anthony Rodriguez was working.
Man.
And he was the only dude working at this George Webb location in Wauwatosa. And all of a sudden, there was these two gals, their 20-year-old sisters. They complained their order was missing a $3 hamburger. Okay. It must have been a pretty good burger. And then they went up to the dude and they were like, yo, man, where's our hamburger? And then Rodriguez says, they said they weren't going to pay. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to take your food since you're not going to pay for it. And then so I took it away. And that's when They shot him in the face.
Oh, my God.
And then he said, I never expected to be shot as a server. And then
he's still talking?
Yeah, dude. He said, there's still big fragments in my throat
from the
bullet. He said, I was in shock. I don't remember being in much pain, but I remember kind of internally freaking out and being very scared, just telling myself, like, wow, I'm probably going to die here.
Guys, we have a lot of people that listen to our show that work in the food industry. And I'm going to say this, man. If you work for fucking Wendy's, that red-haired fucking bitch doesn't care if you get shot at work.
Wendy does care.
Wendy was the hostage of Dave Thomas.
The daughter.
What's the difference? And you guys really need to not die for these corporations. They
Never.
Don't. Just give them the food. If someone's there
Seriously.
And it gets to a point where you're driving to a physical altercation, they can have the fucking food. It's just killing them anyway.
Exactly. So, unfortunately, thank God he's alive, but he has a 2-year-old son, this guy,
Good
Anthony
Lord.
Rodriguez, and the Johnsons have been charged. Those are the two sisters. They have been charged with homicide, with attempted homicide, rather, and they're being held in jail.
Is there a third offense? I feel like there's a lot of attempted homicide. Can't there be, like, almost homicide?
Yeah,
can there
almost.
Be, like, a third one where, like, well, you really tried to kill him with this one? You know, like, attempted murder, sometimes you're going to swipe somebody with the back of your car and you don't know.
Sure. I don't know if that would be considered attempted murder unless
you did it multiple
times.
Well, depends on
whether
you're screaming with laughter.
Well, that's right. You're like Suge Knight.
then technically, legally, you are culpable if you do laugh like the Penguin.
That is entirely true. And then, of course, you would have to pretend like you were blind, much like Mr. Suge Knight did in court, and it was quite funny.
God, it was so good.
Live from your grave.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It says here I have to talk about something I need to get off my chest, and I guess I can share it here. I eat mayonnaise for fun. It's a hobby of mine, and it's an addiction. And it's a daily weight on my life. How much I need whipped egg whites and oil crammed into my veins as soon as I wake up. And a lot of people carry around a lot of different stressors, big and small. Some people are presidents. Some people are soldiers. Some people have to eat mayonnaise, especially with hard-boiled eggs, which is what I eat for lunch. But I guess I should share that in therapy, because therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And what I do is I just add eggs if I have mayonnaise left over. I just continue to add the eggs. But if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I hope they can help me. My God. I hope they can help me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/LastPod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/LastPod.
Ah, Jules. Oh, Jules. Make a wife smile today. The road to getting engaged can be long and full of memories and pitfalls and landmines. Or it can be short and thrilling, like a roller coaster on the way to the police department. But the road to finding the perfect engagement ring is a straightforward path every time. All you've got to do is head over to BlueNile.com and they're going to ship them rocks straight to your wife's new fingers. On BlueNile.com, you can create a bigger, more brilliant piece than you can imagine at a price you won't find at a traditional jeweler. Blue Nile is the original online jeweler since 1999. That's present time to me. Their diamond price guarantee means that in most cases, they can meet or beat a competitor's price on a comparable diamond. I know when I got my wife a beautiful Blue Nile necklace, the first thing she did was, what did you do? But afterwards, she was so happy to have it, and she loved it, and she wore it when we went on vacation, and Maron, did everybody come around being like, where'd you get that piece, you beautiful woman? And I was like, stop talking to my wife. She's spoken for! You can see it with the Blue Nile bling she's got on her! Right now, get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code LASTPODCAST at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code LASTPODCAST at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors. It's a waste.
Don't waste hours on apps. Besides appetizers, that's the kind of apps I like. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Did you know that empanada is already Spanish? I didn't. Thanks, Babbel. Did you know that burrito is already Spanish? Wow! I just got to learn all the rest. And eventually, I'm going to be eating downtown Mexico. Thanks, Babbel. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at Babbel.com/left. Get up to 60% off at Babbel.com/left, spelled Babbel.com/left. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right. Well, are we
there's this other story of the hunt for man seen empty in bag of blood in Reading. This is in the UK. This dude was just fine. They don't know. It's very strange.
What do you mean?
Quantities of blood were found. And like, this is on Broad Street, Duke Street, and Jackson's Corner.
Duke
this
Street.
Is very, very early in the morning. They just found literally pools of blood everywhere. They don't know what it is. They found video of just a dude with a white bag filled with blood.
Whose blood is it?
I don't know.
Where did he get all of it?
I don't know. They saw the man walking outside his store. This is the guy, the CCTV footage had showed this guy emptying blood onto the street and the blood found everywhere. They thought that the man might have been heading in the direction of the Royal Berkshire Hospital.
Okay.
They don't know. They don't know whether or not the source of blood is the result of an assault, but the police are saying they are going to keep an open mind.
Well, isn't that fantastic? Just like those great people when it comes to Hank the Tank. Owen Parker Brunt. That's the manager of a Wolf Italian Street Food.
Ooh, I wonder if it's good.
I don't know. Apparently, he watched this live with the cops on the CCTV camera.
Mm.
And I guess you just sort of got to enjoy the show.
Yeah, I guess. It lets him all the blood everywhere.
What the hell is happening? He said, yeah, we both found it very strange. It was extremely unusual to see. He said I wouldn't.
No, if it was super usual to see, that's unusual.
That would
be like,
really,
well,
weird.
You know, they always come around and they always like to dump their blood out in front of my store.
Yeah.
And now we've been thinking about calling ourselves blood dumpers. But apparently that's also a problem with the colostomy service across the street. They even call themselves blood dumpers.
The blood dumpers. We got poop dumpers. He says, I just hope the person in question is all right. And gets whatever help they need, which like more blood. It seems like they need more blood.
It does also seem like, or they've ruined their own blood collection.
Oh, that's a weird collection.
It is.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's do freaking Hero of the Week.
Yep.
This week's Hero of the Week, it's, I've actually gotten a couple of messages. Some people saying, oh, I really enjoy the more abstract heroes. You've gone from people to concepts to, you know, animals to whatever. This is the worst hero
that you've ever done.
Yeah. But he's also my celebrity cheat. I mean, I'm single, so it really doesn't matter. I'm not gay, so it's not going to happen. Not even if I was, I don't think that he would have sex with me. Ryan
Reynolds.
It's
a lot of rollback.
I know. I'm flipping. Ryan Reynolds. He says.
So Kissel, I just want to remind you that Kissel is naming Ryan Reynolds as Hero of the Week.
I'm
millionaire
Ryan Reynolds. Actor. Well, it's because he's just like you and I.
Oh, yes. He's so relatable.
He is. Well, he is because he's so talented. He says his anxiety makes him feel like a different person from his public persona. So doesn't that remind all of us? So it's not so much Hero of the Week. It's more just like the Hero of the Week is remembering that everyone is going through their own turmoil and stress.
So today, I mean, so there's a lot of news going on. A lot of news going on. A lot of it's causing a lot of anxiety across the board. But we really need to pay attention to Ryan Reynolds' anxiety because of what he's feeling. That's what you're saying here. You're saying he's a hero because he's saying to the world, hey, I get nervous sometimes too.
Exactly. And he has perfect abs. He's got a beautiful wife. He's so funny. They interact on social media. I'm like, oh my God, guys, you guys are get a room, please. And can I see? But it is also nice to know that he also feels the same things that we do because he's
feels
also
nothing.
No, well, this is what he said. He said, I've had anxiety my whole life, really. And you know, I feel like I have two parts of my personality that one takes over. When that happens,
is this
that
Access
one takes
Hollywood?
Over. No, this is about being a fucking hero, man. He says, for example, this is something you can relate to. when I go out, like on Letterman. This is what he says.
No, yeah, I always, when whenever I go out, I'm preparing like for my, yes, my massive press rollout of my huge, multi, almost billion-dollar films. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So this is what he says. So like when I go out, I'm like Letterman back in the day. I was nervous.
Oh,
but
my
I remember being standing backstage before the curtain would open, and I would think to myself, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And then the curtain opens, and I'm just going to be, and I'm just going to be a symphony of vomit. And then just like that, something horrible is going to happen, he said. But as soon as the curtains open, and this happens a lot with work too, it's like a little guy takes over and he's like, I got this. You're cool. And he says, I feel like, audience. Don't apologize to the audience. He says, I feel like my heart rate drop, my breathing calms, and I just sort of go out there and I'm a different person.
So many
and I
heroes
leave that interview
happening,
going, right? God, I'd love to be that guy.
He wants to be himself.
That's how incredible Ryan is.
All of these celebrities are now doing this thing where they're like, we're absolute filth hogs, just like you. Like they say all of this shit where how like they share the same like toothpaste water and they like they don't bathe for weeks on end. And
just
they're like,
just like you.
And we're like, no, we live normally. You are an out of touch person. What I have heard though, actually I'm reading this really interesting article right in front of me saying that Ryan Reynolds is actually in the middle of, he's actually in Ukraine right now doing a pro-Russia documentary, which I honestly think is really brave because we're not hearing a lot like of that perspective.
He's not Sean Penn, okay? But this is what Reynolds said. He said, just to close it up, he said, part of him talking about this again being so brave is that he wants to destigmatize things like this when super...
Fuck him.
Because, no, even super rich, super handsome people have anxiety.
I know.
So anyway,
man.
I think about it, it really never gets better. And I wish there was someone who's like, after I got $10 million, every single problem actually went away.
Most problems do go away.
Is that right?
But then you are left. The actual truly scary problems go away. But then you are like somebody like him then is left with himself and he has to figure that out. But still, you know, I mean, welcome to the fucking club, Ryan Reynolds.
All right.
Welcome to the fucking club.
Well, I'm happy you welcomed him to the club. I mean, you kind of yelled about it, but it was still technically a welcoming.
I do like this other guy, the Sydney man who's trying to eat the fucking...
Oh, are you doing the segment?
This is the other...
Are you doing a hero?
This is a hero.
How much work have you done? What do you know about
He's
my special segment?
He's trying to eat
segment?
A sausage at every Bunnings store in Australia. That actually is also very interesting, but I think he's doing it for... Well, he's trying to raise awareness for sausages.
Well, interesting. Oh, I guess I'll do an email then for the... If we're going to just be switching roles. This is a listener email. Ghost. There you go. So
we should not be recording.
No, I am so brain dead. I can't even. I am a slot machine. I am a human slot machine right now. It's just all dings and dings and like, you lose. I'm just like so.
But this is what makes us relatable. We also show up to work hyper. Fucking hungover.
We're heroes of the week,
We're
too.
We're heroes.
We'll take it.
Now, you know who the heroes are?
Who?
The listeners.
Okay.
Here's a listener email. All right, so we got a couple of good ones. We got one good that said the truth about taking your clothes off to fight, which is all about not having anybody able to grab anything. It's hard to grab wet titties that are covered in sweat.
Makes sense.
Which I know.
Absolutely.
I know all about.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is really interesting. I'm an American living in Cambodia for 4 years, and I can give you some context on why a blood slave is not such an outlandish idea here.
Ooh.
This is from last week's episode.
Yeah.
Cambodia has one of the least developed healthcare systems in the world. It is not uncommon for people to be turned away at the hospital door during emergencies with no explanation at all.
Huh.
There's also no blood donation network here. So if you need a surgery, you need to source your own blood.
What?
That includes during emergencies. Desperate Facebook posts from friends and families of critically ill patients looking for emergency blood donations are fairly common. If you will need it for elective surgery, then you will want to source it ahead of time. Obviously, when you have a scarce resource that is literally the difference between life and death, combined with an ineffective justice system and no legal alternative, a black market will develop that will exploit people to the fullest.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Further, the town that it happened in, I wish I knew how to pronounce this, in Sihanoukville, it's basically become a Chinese mafia boom town in the last 10 years, with residents forced out of their homes and jobs in favor of massive casinos and hotels. That seems very interesting. It's very, very,
yes,
very intense.
Brutal. All right. Good to know.
One night I was sleeping alone in my bed, and I felt a weight next to me, like my wife lying down.
Uh-oh.
I rolled
also
over.
Also a slight diss on your wife.
Yeah, I never feel Natalie lie down.
Absolutely not.
I rolled over and there was no one there, at which point I fully woke up.
Whoa.
I sat up, looked around, assumed I was dreaming, and laid back down to my wife's side of the bed, my preferred sleeping position. I felt the weight again, and I rolled over expecting to see my wife. Again, nothing. My eyes fully open, I examine the room, roll back over, and I close my eyes. Now, this happens a third time. I roll over again, expecting to see nothing. However, I see a large, bulky shape, like a football player wearing pads under the blanket. And I immediately utter, "Who the hell are you?" I hear this guttural sound that says something like,
"What?"
The next thing I know, I'm standing at the end of my bed. There's a 6-foot giant black demon looking motherfucker just yanking on my dick.
What?
In an aggressively sexual way. And then a long black python looking snake crossing the room and then slowly wrapping its way around my leg. I start hyperventilating as it seems all too real. And right when I blow my load, I wake up in my bed with a raging hard on, right? No, I've never felt so scared and violated in my life. Yeah, because you got fucking raped by a dream snake.
Right? I guess so.
I dashed out of the room, took a piss while basically standing on my head, checked on my wife, who was still working, and then I laid back down in bed, staring at the ceiling, unable to sleep. You know, we got that pee-pee boner?
Uh-huh.
That's hard. You get it everywhere.
Absolutely.
You spray and you spray and you spray and you spray.
Triple
and you never
stream
stop.
Sometimes.
And it hurts.
Absolutely.
So over the next few days, I felt completely drained of energy and then eventually returned to normality. Now, I've done a bit of research as I've never heard this term before, but it looks like something from Arabic mythology related to a djinn. I contacted an Arabic scholar that one of my friends knew, and she said not to worry. The snake was a sign of good luck.
Well, then, okay.
So it was a good fucking, yeah. But honestly, they're saying they don't know. This guy's freaked out, and he does not wish for a second visit.
All right. Please, leave him alone. Doesn't sound like so much good luck to me, but all right.
Now, I can remember my grandfather telling me a fairy named Rodney lived in the outdoor AC unit at our river house and writing me notes from Rodney in pristine cursive and leaving them around for me to find. There's another story where my great-grandfather's ghost knocked on the wall to remind everyone how many years it had been since she died when no one seemed to remember, and a story about a ghost dog who barked at the evening news even after he passed away.
Aww.
This story is one that my father told me ever since I was a kid. When 9/11 happened, I was only 4 years old. So I can only remember walking by the TV and seeing the news on and thinking it was some action movie. But my father remembers the day very differently.
Mm-hmm.
All airplanes were grounded on the day of 9/11 for obvious reasons. But my dad clearly remembers looking up on that clear morning to see a blue sky devoid of anything other than clouds when suddenly a white object appeared, looking like a star in the daytime sky.
Hmm.
Now, at first, it sat perfectly still, but then it began moving. Its movements were irregular, not in a straight line like the ISS when you see it, but slowly to one side, then back to the way it came before going up at a curved angle and starting on its own course towards the horizon. He watched it until it vanished over the tree line, and he wouldn't believe it because everyone knew that all planes were grounded.
Right. And this is pre-drone era, I believe, 2001.
Close to it. Or, I mean, who knows what they had. Now, he always postulated that it could have been a satellite ejecting some form of heat to change positions. But to my knowledge, they go up in orbit and stay on a fixed path. Nothing can explain what he saw that day. And I may well have seen something similar, a light in the sky during a clear day that moved irregularly. Certainly not the ISS, certainly not a plane, definitely not a shooting star, and probably not just some story. The origins of this mysterious light in the sky might never be known. Just thought it was interesting to share, and it would be interesting to see if anybody else had the same experience.
All right, let us know. Oftentimes when the psychic world is shattered, which of course 9/11 was universally felt, maybe some spooky stuff happens.
It really is. Just very, very interesting. I'm very right, creepy, everyone. Deepy, and dear.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so you guys know we're wrapping up this fucking bullshit. You guys can go on the fuck Patreon, right?
You get to do triple O.
We're going
to
do it.
Oh,
I'm
going to
fucking do this announcement.
You're
going to
do it like this? Okay.
Yeah. in our Patreon, just so you know, we are going to be doing filmed episodes of Side Stories that you will be able to see only at the, I forget what number.
No Smell-O-Vision.
No Smell-O-Vision. We're going to be watching us, and that is going to be beginning next week.
Yes.
So join the Patreon to watch what it looks like when we arrive hungover in the studio. You can really see our gray faces lined with sometimes little bits of cheese sauce.
Aww.
Sometimes, is that blood? Oh no, it's jam because we got the pastry basket
Ooh.
For breakfast because you never know. So you gotta love every day. You got to live your life every day knowing that pastry bastic might come. It might take 45 minutes. It might take an hour and a half. Sure. They're understaffed.
Did you get one?
Absolutely, I did. Okay, yeah, fantastic. It came. And then I loved it. I loved every moment of it because I like a cheese Danish. I like a little mignon.
Of course.
You know what I mean? You go out there, you get a coffee. That's really nice. You go down to the Starbucks, get a coffee, live that life, love that life, you know. And then you laugh just thinking about the fact that, yeah, I ate pastries for breakfast and I'm probably going to die soon because of the solar flare that's going to knock out the grid. But when it comes down to it, at least today. Right. At least today.
Today.
I have a croissant in my belly.
And that's all we can ask for. All right, everyone. Take care of yourselves out there. We'll see you real soon.
Fucking
we can't
better.
Wait to see y'all in Chicago.
Chicago town.
We'll be eating our sausages. Okay, everyone.
So
hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me, fucker.
All right. Also, check out our show on Sirius.
City of Wide Shoulders.
Yes.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
I was shocked, you know? They were always such a good team, so successful. But to do something like that, to exceed their budget...
While being over budget might not be a crime, it can disrupt workflows. With Monday.com, you and the team can be sure that you're all in sync. All the data, latest updates, files, and budgets are visible to everyone, so you won't miss a thing. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.